see, it gives you the heads up of what's sort of been discussed, but you may have new insights because you heard the revelation for yourself.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
And so your take on it might be even more rich than some of the other points that have been beat to death. So it's not a it's not a more or less than, it's an inclusive position. The only time it becomes more or less is when they ain't sharing. And then
also,
that gives you an easy opportunity to jump in at every level.
Fresh person.
Also, Brian and Joyce and I often talk on Thursdays or Fridays at some point just to kind of catch up a little bit. So to go over notes and fill in holes in notes. I'm not sure. Brian's got a name for it. What is it, Brian? Not the
I call it the debrief.
Debrief.
Debrief. Or rebrief.
Something. I have a thought pattern I'd like to throw out there. Earlier you were talking. Go ahead, Virginia.
The only reason why is I just want to come back to this point about the Garden of Eden and this thing about the notes. Okay, the thing about the Garden of Eden being in the 33rd parallel and the living water coming from the 33rd parallel that's coming out of the garden is in the fifth key. And that's information that everybody has. And that was clearly a Bob and Ion. So that's not anything that we have. That was developed by Bob and Ion through the rewrite thing. I mean, through the...
We talked about the 33rd degree parallel?
Yes, Bob, and I'm going to tell you what you said.
Talked about getting a foot in the south.
Yes. So I'll go over that with you, Bob, fresh your memory. But then I will also say Sue, Barb, and Steve.
Steve's not here.
Paul tonight.
And Sue.
I did ask Bob for your email addresses so I could send some of the charts and the stuff that we had, and quite frankly, I totally forgot about it. So I will do that and shoot that to you right now. But as far as I know, everybody else has gotten whatever, you know, notes I have. So
all right, now who sent you notes, Virginia?
Nobody sent me anything.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, well, I mean, Chad sent me, James sent me the chart, and Bob sent me something.
Well, that's right, and see, this seamless sharing is what is the benefit for all. See, that's the point. And so Sasha's got a great idea. If you want to put it in some master document, something, that's fine. So she's in charge of that, so I guess now everybody send it all to Sasha, and then you have the ability and the capacity to look at it. Hey, Bart, you can't blog no more. Maybe you can edit and redact.
This would give something for Sasha to do on every other Wednesday when she's bored because there's no rewrite.
Okay, well,
Bob, got my stuff, so then Sasha, you can send it on. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I was thinking, Joyce actually started formatting her notes, and what she's been doing, which is rather clever, is trying to organize it into categories rather than per rewrite. So
That's why she gets called on so much.
Mm-hmm. So
it's always very orchestratedly organized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could do it that way, and then, you know, it doesn't really need to be any pressure, but certainly I think it would help all of us or new people. Obviously, you guys can just go find the category and post a note in there if you have one, and we go.
Okay.
Rewrite Wikipedia.
Cool.
Okay, and it has access is only within the invited members.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah.
We won't know.
And also, Ian, you'll know the hackers that are able to get in who get in. You'll know them, too.
It won't be no hacking. Well, they might be some hacking, but then they might be some smoking, too.
Who's that?
Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Kelly. Hey, you're a member of Rewrite right now for 5 seconds. Welcome. Bye. Well, that was just someone waving at me as they drew by. I didn't know who it was. Well, okay, sorry to interrupt.
You do that after what I was just...
What did Ion say? What did Ion say, Sasha?
He said, and he hacked me, smote. And then you say, oh, Kelly, you're a member of Rewrite.
Okay, good,
I'm
good.
I'm just good running good interference. That's a boy, Bob. Attaboy, Bob.
So what a great document.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes. Don't ask the question. Nobody say the words. Can I ask a question? Never hear that again.
I'm asking a question.
Don't even say that. Just fucking ask the question.
Bob, I guess
there's a new person.
Way in order to ask the question.
Ask the goddamn, just say the question. But no other words.
Well, when you shut up, I will. Okay.
You can't say that. Just ask the question.
So I'm asking how is, you know, what's the best way for me to prepare so that I'm able to make the best use of the time here on Rewrite?
Okay. Don't. That's the thing. This ain't a worky job, baby. It ain't a worky job. No, no.
Good.
Here's how they set it up. And if it's ending in tears, change it up. What was supposed to happen is you come together an hour before and talk about whatever topics that are interesting within the context of Revelation that are interesting to you. And as and different ones spoke up and said, I'm interested in this, and I'm interested in this, and I'm interested. We still haven't got the triangulation yet, but we will, darling, don't worry. They bring these points up, and then that's a good focus or a platform for the discussion. But there's no rhyme or reason or regulation that's required. And then as topics come up, and Margarita's good at this, she'll hear things and that she maybe didn't get or got but didn't get it that way, and it'll make a point of a context, and she'll dig into that then. We give 200 scripture references most weeks. Make a little notation of it. You don't have to do it right this hot second, but then when you go back, you can look at those things and see how it reflects on the tree of life from Revelations when we're talking about Ezekiel or Isaiah or Habakkuk, as Bob mispronounces so eloquently. Then you can have those points of reference that will pique new insights of interest regarding the next time you're together, so that it becomes by rote, meaning it becomes normal. See, we talk about things here, and it's like, oh, well, everybody knows that. Well, not necessarily everybody, you see, but you all have been privy to information that the average bear or creator hadn't gotten to, or gotten back to, as Brian would say, and that's he would be correct. Do you see? And if chemical aspects get into it, then, of course, we'll whip off more chemical formulas than Carter ever made liver pills. Fine. Then you can go into that. Whatever that's interesting to you, that's what you develop. See, Chad's all about, he started in numbers, about the significance of numbers, just because that sort of bumped into him as far as trying to get some kind of clarity regarding it. It was very wonderful. Do you see? So, that blending then may perk something up that you're interested in.
Yeah, so there's curriculum.
And then it goes on and on.
No curriculum.
Curriculum?
No. Just involvement and learning how to speak and have material to speak with and of.
And if it's interesting, ask. That's how you set it.
Okay.
That's your parameters, because there's no limitation in this at all, less than except the asking.
Okay.
That's the only thing, that's the only limitation is but to ask.
So I'd like to point out to Brian. He came in 20 minutes ago and said, we're doing the Garden of Eden, and it sounded like he had done it. So if that's the tone you meant, Brian, that it was not... It was a done deal for you. No. I'm assessing Brian. If it was a done deal, if it was tone implied, it was a done deal. What do you think of what we come up with now, Brian?
He didn't ask that. What he asked was, are you looking for the geographic location?
No. He didn't say. He just said, we're doing the Garden of Eden. He just said a few words.
What I said was, are you looking for the Garden of Eden now? Right now.
And what did your question mean?
Well, it's my whole thought pattern that's, as I've been listening. The first thing was, when I come in, you was already into the tree of knowledge, the tree of life. Then we got into seeing, and it's, you know, with your eyes and the lying and this, that, and the other. And I just been listening, I'm thinking now, so it seems to me, and I'll just speak for myself, it seems to me that I am looking for something with lying eyes. So, and for me that means I'm looking for something with lying eyes because I'm not running on 144,000 active double helix strands. Now, when we're describing all of this that we're reading, which it sounds as if it's this geographic place out there somewhere. And I'll get to that, but what I see is, as we engage, we go through the ascension process, and we know what the three stages are, and we engage with the extensions of the non-physical, and we activate those 144,000, and then we engage and from what I know, the 144,000 will feed you, and then it will lead you to the living water. So, once I have the 144,000 activated, that's a condition. The condition I'm in now, the things that I see are, in my mind, okay, that's my lying eyes. So, once I have my 144,000 fully activated, and I'm running on 144,000 double helix strands, then what I see is something totally different. And then, in my mind, this outside geographic world will respond in kind to me. In other words, when I have the perfect cell, when my cells are perfect, then my outside world is going to be perfect. And then I'm going to see what is being described, what we've been reading in the Bible. I'll see the Garden of Eden. I'll see all of these things because it will be a direct, in my mind, it will be a reflection of me, my perfect cell, my perfect body.
Good.
Okay.
Now, that's a becoming place. That's a becoming place. That's not a problem. However, so much of your world is already perfecting that you're astounded already. See, so
what part of our world do you mean the Iron Dome people that's perfecting?
That's the only ones that, baby, that's the only ones we're speaking to right now.
Okay.
So, it doesn't have to be, it can be a Damascus road, Brian, but it doesn't have to be. It can most certainly be an Emmaus road, where
yeah.
You look at your world and go, wow, I'm a million times better than where I was, okay? And yet I'm still not there, because Bob will jump right quick and say, you never get it done. But that's not what you're saying. What you're saying is the perfection that you're looking for is already there. You, except for your sightedness, you would already be engaged and enjoying this perfection that you're speaking about. And what's happened in this interaction with non-physical, finally, is that you have outside ability now to engage this very manna that you have longed for, which is the essence of creation, regardless of your sightedness, or some would say short. So when you start playing that Victrola just a little bit, all of a sudden you're exactly right. It becomes sighted. But now you look. We can take Rejoice. You can take Rejoice's notes right now and go through some of these bill of particulars, and she can change your world. Just on the what fell off the damn table changed her world. What climbed up under the bed made her world different, you see. So without even getting to the big stuff, Sue, the little stuff, the little ahas, start stacking up. We could say right now, Brian, we'll do it right now, it's fine. Brian, what are the foundations of the temple made of?
The temples of the foundation are made up of silicon dioxide.
There you go. Now Margarita perked up. Silicon dioxide, wait, I know that. Wait, and she see, that would perk her because that's her background. So that's interesting. You see? Now, Sue, that's what we're talking about. Now, see, Brian, he don't think that. He knows that. Bob, what's Ezekiel 1:22 about?
Silicon dioxide.
No, it is not.
Well, this is postgraduate. We know what it refers to, Taylor Crystal. I'm improvising now. I know the basics.
Damn
I can
it.
Improvise.
We're not interested in your improvisation. We're interested in your knowing.
Oh, well, I understand something called the Taylor Crystal. Well, something's going to happen on April 5th, 2012 that the little man will see is terrible. That's all I know. And the Bible calls it a terrible crystal.
Now, and now, even Bob knows shit. That ought to be the clue, everybody. When Bob.
Oh, wait, I know it. Brian knows it based on what you're saying. Whether we believe you is another question.
Don't believe us. Do not believe us. I don't know about April 5th.
I personally don't know anything about it, and I can recite what I've learned here if I choose to, but I'm not going to say I know it.
Well, then don't say it.
Okay. I have to say, though, that definitely, like, but Brian and I were talking about this the other day, and because I went to a party and seemed to be out socially for ages, and we were talking about this afterwards and saying that, you know, you actually, what I've noticed anyways, is that you don't notice your knowing until you're in the outside world, you know, and it picks up so slowly. So then, only then when you have a little bit of cast do you really realize, you know, where you're at and what has shifted.
Well, was it you met some people and Bible kind of information or themes that could relate to the Bible were brought up in the group?
No, not at all. No Bible stuff, just, you know, I mean, God, there's
you're talking about
so
your mellowing
levels.
Excitement and your sense of confidence. You noticed everybody else was...
What was it?
Yeah, what was it that made you think you had achieved something compared to the others at the party?
A sense of shifting, and we discussed earlier, it's a little bit difficult to relate to from when we're after, like, as I have said, we've been privy to information that most people aren't.
Right, we know that. What was your experience at the party that you're saying was confirmed something?
Well, precisely that. I mean, you know, it's as
what
if,
is that?
You know,
you're not describing what you thought, felt, or did in the party.
Privy to information or inside knowing.
So you went around the party with a sense of knowing.
No, not saying that. Just you can't. I mean, it's not shit that you can discuss.
You went to the party, found that you couldn't discuss. Yeah. In other words, themes came up at the party. That you realize I can't even comment on because of the level they're at. It's not interesting.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what you meant. So it's kind
absolutely.
Of a confidence, a kind of snobbish knowing in relation to the themes that came up.
Well, no, I wouldn't even say it's a snobbish knowing. It's not a snobbish knowing at all. I don't take it like that. It's just a difference. It's a shift. It's a change. It's not
right.
It's not
and we talked after the party, and I gave you the Holy Office tools to say a bunch of crap from McClune, Zappa, LaRouche, something that you could say and engage, not give away the ion stuff, and that would give you a way to approximate what you knew. Yeah.
Yes.
How about Brian?
Now, what I heard her say, it was a gauge. Sasha, when her interaction with others, it was a gauge. She was observing, listening, engaging with some of these others, and she noticed the disconnection. The more, you know, how more they're disconnected compared.
And, you had a kind of poise. Nothing could shake you, Sasha.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's that, I guess, as well, but it's also just, like, as I said, you know, it's a little bit difficult, like Brian said, to, you know, it's a shift. I mean, that's all I could say. It's a shift in myself. You know, being in this group and engaging with Ion and learning all the stuff that we've been learning about, it's completely different. It changes everything.
We're trying to register how you could articulate the change within the social context. So just say a few words, approximate, like what was going on.
Well, it's a bunch of fatic people are engaged in, a bunch of less than a bullshit. So, you know, sometimes it's interesting to observe one's own responses to like, you know, oh, we're going to have Alzheimer's, and oh, it's going to be the, oh, it's the end, and oh, the wars, and oh, the, you know, rumors of the wars, and all, you know, that's what I'm talking about in terms of the shift.
Yeah.
I don't care about anymore.
You're used to quality discussion, and you were surprised at the endless non-quality discussion going on.
Well, it takes the heat inside. There's no drama, and so therefore it becomes a little bit nebulous and a little bit disinteresting.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a snobbish way at all.
Yeah. It's just that with Ion lurking in a conversation, it puts a different atmosphere to it, a different tension.
Absolutely. Yeah, but not one that you can discuss.
Yeah, I'm not asking we can, but not with others.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be impossible. So, yeah, okay. It's almost like you were dead. You were a ghost, and you were an angel. You could see through everything.
That would be.
And yet, here's what's interesting. And here we go. Now let's get out of the woo-woo. Now at this engagement, at this party, where you were kind of above it, or out of the fray, or not, you were there but not in it.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to engage and have conversation with you. It's not like you were some barfly somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, don't you find that odd where you can't relate in a group socially where the topic, you listen and they sound like Bob speaking. You don't know what in the hell they're talking about. And they're going, you know, thank you for chatting with me, but I have no clue what you are babbling on about. And yet they still wanted to have a succinct conversation with you. And you found yourself in a position where you knew the answer. They'd start opening their mouth, and you kind of knew the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you had to be careful so you didn't take over, as it were, and be the star, the bright and shining star. But yet, it was very engaging because everybody was interested in your opinion regarding whatever the topic of conversation was.
Yep.
Now, what Brian was talking about is in your lying eyes, you can't see your reflection, but others can see you clearer than you. So therefore, you become very, very interesting because there's something about you. Same thing happens to Sue on airplanes all the time. Somebody has an issue or something, and nobody else on that damn box can solve it but Sue. Well, any of them could solve it, but until she says that's it, it ain't it.
Yep, which airline do you fly with, Sue, when we line that up?
What did you say, Sasha?
Oh, I just said let's line up so we all fly with Sue in the future.
Wait, what do you mean by that? We have a Sue in the future. What's that mean?
No, I said let's line it up so we all fly with Sue in the future.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I had a big problem. Well, not a big problem, but with my crew on the last flight that I did, a girl started talking to me about some terrible thing that happened to a kid. I said, I don't want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to put that in my brain. She got really offended. And all of them at the back of the plane are talking about bitching, moaning, whining, and complaining, and I'm out of there. I just go out, talk to my friendly passengers, and, you know, I'm looking for positive engagement. I'm not looking to go into that vortex or that downward spiral. That they all seem to be very happy to engage and, you know, talking about all kinds of crap and just seems to not elevate anything. I'll go out for dinner with the crew and they don't really have interesting things to talk about. So
exactly.
That's right. And yet they still want to talk to you. They want to drag all their dead cats to your door, always, because you're the only one that can get rid of their dead cats.
Why do they think that?
Because you're shining like a beacon of refreshing light.
Oh.
Margarita goes in the office and the whole damn thing's blowing up till she walks in the door and then everything's all right. The bitch gonna blow till she walks in the dough and then everything's all right. Two documents, two phone calls, crisis averted. Next. Well, you get in that perspective, just a little bit, darling. And it won't take you long to notice that you don't want to be harboring the world's dead cats.
Exactly.
So, here's how you do it.
Wait, Sasha,
let's hear this. He's going to tell us how, finally.
How
35-second fucking session.
Just a second. We'll get there. So, when you have that conversation, and this is specifically in Revelation Rewrite, when that comes up, rather than chide them and say, I don't want to hear what you have to say, you turn that around just a little bit. And you'd say, well, that sounds very interesting or sounds very delightful. And then you immediately go into another conversation. And they go, no, Sue, I'm talking about some death and degradation and pedophilia and dead children and blood and guts and blah, 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 blah. You would say something like, fantastic, but however, and then you just move the subject to something else. And after a little while, they're kind of like going, well, wow, Sue was very kind and very gentle and very easy with me, but she won't put up with my shit, and yet I still must have engagement with her. Do you realize they fight over shifts to fly with you?
No, I didn't realize that.
Well, obviously. And yet they do, because flights you're on go well.
Yeah, always.
That's not always the case, darling.
Yeah.
Sue, I can definitely, for what Ion said, I learned how to acknowledge what they were saying or agree and then quickly change the subject. And the more that I, or the quicker that I caught, less and less and less I got that stuff coming out of their mouths.
And then people would say, but Greg, you're having conversation with Greg, he'll cut you off at the knees and change the subject so quick that you can't, he's very different now. And that's good. No problem. But they notice, you see. They notice.
I don't change the subject. I give them the figure ground, give them a fantastic pattern of recognition about the situation, get them fucking laughing.
Yeah. And then you pull it back around, and all of a sudden, this abyss that they're trying to present to you to solve is now enlightened. Well, once it's enlightened, now you don't have to overcome it. Now you don't have to deal with it, and now you don't have to listen to it, and now they don't discuss it. And after a little while, you'll find, just as you know, Greg, what happens now is they bring you stuff, and they offer solutions. They bring you stuff, and if there's no answer, if it can't get got, if it can't get fixed, if it can't get straightened out, if the motherfucker won't play, get it out. We're not dealing with that at all. Okay? That's the point. Is that solution orientation is key to this ascension knowing. You see? Because Brian hit it on the head. He's there. He's just trying to figure out where. That's the same thing with your Animaniacs version of Magellan. He knew he was going to find it. He just didn't know where.
That was on cash flow today, right? Anna Magellan.
Anna
Maniac.
Dude.
And I welcome problems. I love a day of problems because it's... And I won't have it unless the solution is one billionth of a second right behind. So,
knowingness sometimes will create problems that you can instantly solve, and that's okay. No problem. That's what makes the paper readable.
Mm.
You see?
Mm.
Because it's not the problem and it's not the solution, it's the sidedness that allows the solution to find the sidedness of the issue at bay.
Because so many of the problems that hear, read, people talk about are just red herrings as to what's really going on. Is that...
Or a very poorly regulation deed IPO.
ITO?
IPO.
You know, when you go public with your company?
I don't get that.
When a company...
A red herring, and we said if they have a very poor formulated Regulation D, that will surmount to a weak initial public offering of a stock.
Yeah, Red Herring had that situation right around the crash in 2000, that particular company, I think. You're citing the Red Herring company in particular?
No, Bob, a Red Herring is a...
No, I know what a Red Herring is, but it was in 2000. I remember the guy was moving into Park Avenue, a new billionaire, and he had to move out 3 weeks later because the crash came. And I'm just thinking of Red Herring, if you were being particular about that company.
Not the company, the aspect of a poorly formed Regulation D.
What's that? Regulation D.
How you go, Reg D is what's required before you can have an IPO.
You have to fill that out properly.
Well, you don't fill it out, you formulate it. Reed Joyce could tear you up a Reg D. She showed you how the milk got in the coconut.
Right.
So I guess people just want connection, right? They want connection.
Yep. No, they want God.
They want
whatever
matching.
God is. No, they don't even want matching. They want God.
Oh, they don't know about that.
God.
Yeah. Matching is the rabbit hole version of that.
Neither. Well.
They think you're God, Sue. They want themselves, but they think you're it. So they want to match and connect with you.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to call it.
And they want.
Fine.
And they want you to date them.
That's the verb?
You to what?
What you verb. Do to validate them.
Validate. That's matching. That's the original Ra'i. The separateness. You get that, Sue? Now you know what Ra'i is, Sue. Sue. Validate. The Ra'i. You say you didn't ever know what it is. Told you about it for 40 years. To match, to validate oneself is the beginning of conversation. That's the Ra'i action. Based on separateness.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Too many
I like
words.
Pockets.
What'd you say, Sasha?
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
I think she's blipping out.
Well, I did
she's
have to...
Blipping out because you're in the wind, Bob.
Yeah, you sound like you're on a boat, Bob.
I am.
if everyone's okay, I wouldn't mind changing topics unless
just do it. Don't tell anybody anything. Do it.
Right. I wanted to bring up the Epic of Gilgamesh, and you said that you'd rather go into it on rewrite rather than on flow.
We won't go into it on cash flow. Because the answers are not to that caliber and level.
Okay.
I mean, for Pete's sake, you talk about, we've also spoken a great deal about the knackered pearl being cast before the swine, so don't bank on that there, darling. The dynamic of our vibrational frequency can hardly align with that particular dynamic.
Right.
Yeah, that's what makes it difficult. It's not totally a problem, but it seems it could be a problem. We have to keep the show interesting, and there's those who listen for a long time, and they want meat, but they're not going to pay for it, and they'll notice that we aren't going to give them the meat. Yeah, we have to talk about something, so if anybody has any criticism of our show, that's the dilemma we're in.
Uh-huh.
Well, and it's not even about paying for it. It's about the engagement that gets them somewhere. We know, and paying for it, I mean, you've got more on your website now for free than lots have done in a 30-year history. So it's not about that, but they have to own it.
Just emailing a question and waiting to be heard is not much engagement.
Well, okay. Now you're asking about a subject you don't know anything about, and you want to ask us to clean it up for you. So this ought to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It does lead to humor, though, so in the end, it's just entertainment.
We want to figure out how to get Fatic pregnant, and then we can really enjoy it.
She said today on Tailgate that she told me the show was extremely messy and that we require James. We don't supply any James, and she didn't know that we thought it was very orderly, wonderful, straightforward, and one of the best. So it is a matter of perspective, but it wasn't a mess. It was the entertainment loops and bloops we had to go through to avoid telling them anything serious.
Can we do that in Rewrite Tailgate, Bob?
Do what?
Can we get into Gilgamesh?
Not on Tailgate, no, it's impossible on Tailgate.
No, I said Rewrite Tailgate.
Can we rewrite Tailgate?
Can we go into the analysis of cash flow on the Rewrite Tailgate, then get into Gilgamesh right now?
I'm missing the meaning of the phrase rewrite tailgate. What's that mean?
Well, our chat off when Ion leaves rewrite when we go and talk for hours.
Oh you call that rewrite tailgate.
Yeah.
What about it? Now I know what the now means. What's the point you're making?
Okay. Can we talk about the cash fat and get into Gilgamesh?
Talk about
now?
You want to stop talking about cash flow, right?
Yeah, I do want to stop talking about
cash
flow.
Okay, good. Well, Ion went into it, I think.
Okay. Well, you're carrying it on. Ion, when I was looking into genealogy and way back to Sumeria. Now, I have not read the whole Epic of Kilt, but I did look it up on the wiki.
Oh, you mean like the blue gin. You mean like the blue gin.
Hey. What's the blue gin?
Well, we will if you'd like us to. The beginning of genealogy.
Right.
He's punning on genealogy.
Yeah, the blue gin. So now I'm trying. I'm deliberately not trying to think of this in terms of linear sense of time, but there are so many parallels between some of the stories in the Epic of Gilgamesh in the Bible. So I was just wondering if you could go into that a little bit, like the serpent.
Okay, Sasha, I have something to say about that. The Emerald Tablets apparently are the archetype for everything. So maybe we could ask
if
the
story is
running.
Can you repeat that? Because I couldn't hear you because of the wind.
Yeah, the archetype for all these stories, religious stories, is the Emerald Tablets. So the question would be, is it Epic of Gilgamesh influenced by the Emerald Tablets, Ion?
There's reference there.
Okay, I just want to check with that. It's interesting. Everything is in the Emerald Tablets. The whole situation of Rai and a student, or Rai and the masses as a less than. So the Epic of Gilgamesh might be a variation of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the first Ion, wasn't it? The Emerald Tablets are the first written kind of in clay, Emerald Tablets, kind of solid, stuck statement. Is the Emerald Tablets the first?
Reference. We don't like first, but we don't mind reference.
The first reference, okay. That's interesting to note, Sue, and when you get William Raymond Thompson's book, he's going to talk about all these texts. Those early texts, probably, he doesn't know it, are referencing the Emerald Tablets.
Huh.
That's the interesting part.
So the point therefore you to refer to the Emerald Tablet. So not to exclude from a degree of separation, but then why would we be going into Revelations just because it's specifically sort of an explanation / declaration of the
No,
time
no, see, that's
that
the difference.
Right now?
No, that's the difference. What's different about Christianity and the Book of Revelations is it deals with the media and the printing press and a global manufactured media hologram that's created. The Emerald Tablets did not do that. It was passed on orally.
Right.
Not, that's
okay,
the difference.
You did actually describe that, I think, in Revelations. But
yes.
What I'm thinking about now is but obviously I haven't ever read or encountered the list. Are the themes similar? Aside from the printing press element, is there else that's different about
Yeah,
them,
same themes,
or?
Same themes. That's why it's amazing. McLuhan's analysis of media is the first beginning of figuring out why Christianity happened and what is different about Christianity versus the other religions and oral traditions that came from the Emerald Tablet. That's the neat thing about Christianity. That's why McLuhan's the key to it. It's pretty amazing, and then Finney's Wake into it, Seth.
So again, I'm trying not to make this go into some sort of chronological sense of timing, but so the Epic of Gilgamesh was written before John wrote Revelations, before any of the other elements of the Bible, and so these were all extracted from that epic, and then from the Emerald Tablets. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I mean, you could direct these to Ion.
The Indigo Girls got it best with the song Galileo.
Now, you can bring that up when there's no origins, right? I mean, none of it's happened, or...
Call on the resting soul of Galileo till your soul gets it right.
Right, so the Epic of Gilgamesh has not happened. What it refers to, we could see it as having not happened yet.
Has not happened, exactly. That's why I was trying,
The essence of it is you're asking the question, how long till your soul gets it right?
Huh?
Is that the issue in that epic, Sasha?
She doesn't know. She hadn't looked at it.
I'm talking about the Epic of Gilgamesh.
Wait, you're asking me a question, Bob, or Ion?
Yeah, you. I'm asking you what you know.
I can't hear your sound. What I know about the Epic of Gilgamesh, well, just what I said, that you know, A, I know that I shouldn't be getting this caught up in some sense, chronological sense of time, but it was just really interesting to me that there are so many of these stories that seem to be running similar themes.
Yeah,
that's
those themes come from, it's the themes of the Emerald Tablets. It's the whole meme of religion. Comes from the Emerald Tablets.
Which is the meme of the little man.
Yeah, you and you. Difference between you and you, or Thoth and the little man.
Right. So, this going back into chronology now and get down that rabbit hole.
Like, we're doing the book, and in large part we're doing the Emerald Tablets and those themes in this Revelations.
Yeah.
But there's an extra element which is unique and makes Christianity a world religion for a media reason. That's the extra interesting part. And that's what John saw, and that's what Nostradamus saw. I mean, the Emerald Tablets does not discuss the Twin Towers. They don't discuss 9-1-1.
No, and so therefore why this we've come together here is because it's a discussion of our current environment as opposed to the reason why we're not going through the Emerald Tablets or the Mesopotamian text or so on.
The Bible is the best one to leap from. You can include the Emerald Tablet themes or Buddhist and Tibetan and all that, but it's the media dimensions. And that gets into Israel being the chosen land, and it's the phonetic alphabet, and or the chosen people. All that is them unconsciously knowing we're carrying the problem around. We're carrying the phonetic alphabet. So anti-Semitism has an interesting understanding when you know the media dynamics. It's a grievance.
Well, the anti-Semitism that come from the Christians blaming the Jews for killing Jesus.
Right, and but the Jews created the motive for Christianity by creating the phoneticized writing, which the Greeks
so
took.
Bob,
and
what was that? What was that Thompson going into? Because you mentioned to me that if you'd known it was me, Sasha, not the other Sasha, that you would have expressed some of the Thompson opinions on Gilgamesh. What was Tom talking about?
I would have done what with the Thompson opinions?
You said you would have, if you'd known it was asking the question and not the other Sasha, you would have expressed, you mentioned that Thompson was into it and wrote about it. About Gilgamesh. What was his insight?
Am I there? I seem to have got disconnected. Do you hear me?
Echo. Yeah, you're there. I just want to unmute because my dog was barking.
Okay. I got bit. The thing about Thompson is that he uses McLuhan in his analysis. That's the difference. That makes him better than Ken Wilber, Krishnamurti, or anybody else. He takes the Thompson quadrant themes, universal government themes, and looks at it with a McLuhan filter. Does that answer your question? Is that what your question was? Why Thompson?
No, I said you mentioned to me that Thompson wrote or spoke about Gilgamesh. So I was asking what were his insights on it, if we're speaking about our particular current environment.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yeah, I hear myself too.
Yeah, it's odd. I can't hear you listening to the speakerphone. So I think I might have changed my phone in a second. I'm not sure. I don't know what you said, and I don't want to waste time on it. Let's try it again in 20 minutes or something.
So is the Bible the first book?
Oh, God.
Are we... If it was the desire to pass on oral tradition, it wasn't the printing press that was the death blow, but man's idea of wanting to keep his ideas perpetrated beyond his verbal ability to communicate it.
Were you talking about Jesus?
Well, no, I'm talking about was the Bible the first book? Are we?
No.
Was it the? It was not. Okay.
If you mean manuscript, it was not. It could be considered the first printing press product as we know history. It was the first thing published. That's what Gutenberg's Bible, it was all about Gutenberg putting the Bible out. So it was the first religious manuscript propagated as an assembly line book effect, printed book effect. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Started with the monkeys.
You mean the musical monkeys?
No. Well, maybe. No. The monks who were doing...
Oh, the monkeys, right. But that's manuscript culture. So, Greg, the Bible is the first thing
without
spread.
Without manuscript culture, there'd be no printing press outcome.
That's right. No, it's the background. But there's many manuscript religions in manuscript form, but the Bible is the first religion or religious manuscript spread by the printing press. Isn't that what you're asking, Greg?
Are you asking the first scribblings, or you ask if that was, and we said no, and that's that, or go ahead.
Look, we're not talking scribblings. The printing press is the first assembly line. It takes manuscripts, puts them through movable type, and the same thing is sent out to millions of people. The Bible was the first to experience that.
Okay, got it. But if we'd stayed with manuscripts and not gone to the mass printing press of a book like the Bible, then
you'd have to go to mass to learn the scriptures.
Yeah, the people would not be involved in Christianity. They'd be involved in a dramatic ritual in the church, like a theater. They'd be going to the theater.
And if Henry VIII wasn't horny, you wouldn't have the printed Bible anyway.
Right. There's another factor. So yes, the manuscript culture, which McLuhan considered a way more balanced society than the printing press society, but the people were not engaged visually with the manuscript. They only heard and engaged with the mass, and they conducted morality plays.
And what you forfeited in that interaction and expression is the oral tradition. And
yeah.
Had you maintained the oral tradition, you wouldn't have all this goddamn blowed up, messed up mess that you're dealing with trying to sift out of now.
Yeah, and that's what John and Nostradamus saw. They saw the inevitable mess coming once you had the printing press and the setting up of America. You see, that's what they saw.
You got rabbit holes. You're right, Bob.
Rabbit
holes.
And that's what McLuhan means when he says Western man's been a robot for 500 years. Once we had the printing press, the next 500, the past 500 years was inevitable. And
you
that's why you could foresee
slavery.
It.
You never had slavery in this country until you abolished it. Now
yeah, so you were a literate
slavery.
Country.
Now you have a slavery that's unsurmountable.
That John and Nostradamus predicted due to the printing press and the building of America. This is the amazing breakthrough of Revelations, which points back to the breakthrough of Finnegan's Wake and McLuhan.
Massa, can you activate my IP address so I can access your chip body?
Yeah, and the oral tradition is the passing on, and it's like the Emerald Tablets was the first writing down of the oral tradition. Because the old tradition
so
was...
Will you loan me some money checks so I can buy a car, so I can go to work, so I can make some monies to pay you back for your car that you loaned me the money checks for in the first place?
Well, was the printing press required to correct the contrast?
Well, it's about time...
Wait, JJ. To correct the contrast of what?
Sorry, Bob, you...
To correct the contrast of what?
No, to get us into the contrast so we could...
The printing press was required. That's what Ian's just been saying. You wouldn't have done it with in the manuscript culture. It would be a different kind of disservice, but on a whole smaller scale.
So it was like the manuscript.
Yeah, we turned you loose for a few minutes, and you created the Dark Ages.
Yeah, and the Dark Ages are from 1603 on until 1900, 20th of the Electric Age. That's what... Ion defines the Dark Ages. What we call the Enlightenment phase is the Dark Ages because of the printing press. See, that's why McLuhan, at some points he would talk about the printing press as the fall of man, but you didn't run around waving that flag all the time in a literate society which was prone to value judgments and would have made a cult out of the idea of the printing press of the fall of man. So he was very understanding and careful on how he talked about the devastating effects of print.
But I guess from this position, we can call it as it is.
Yeah, because we're freed from it. There's no more Rai.
Mm-hmm.
You missed that. You just came in, James.
Cotton in the ditch. They all picked the cotton, but none of them got rich.
Yeah, James, you just arrived, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about Rai in the first Gossip Hour. And that's a reference to that.
We've been pining for you.
Oh, hello, everyone. There's a full house. We've got 13 people. Hello.
Well, you got to share your notes, and you're in charge of helping Sasha work out the new Wikipedia Revelation rewrite shit. So good and thanks for that.
So Ginny wanted to talk about the phonetic alphabet. Sasha was talking about Gilgamesh. Well, let's talk more. What do you want to say about it, Ginny? The oral tradition is what the Gilgamesh is about. The Emerald Tablets is a solidifying of the oral tradition.
And the Indigo Girls.
Well, I went to a Bucks party on the weekend, and as I was coming home, it was, 2 hours away, I was driving home, and I was like, ah, shit, I'm in a different world, fuck, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And two black cats on the same road run across me, and the name of the song that I'm listening to is Parallel Universe by Gilgamesh. And I was like, okay, fair enough. So here we are.
And Sue gets lots of dead pussy dumped on her.
Oh, boy.
Well, we just caught up on what's been. All right, cool, let's move on.
Well, maybe we haven't been missing you. Maybe you've been right along all along, James.
Well, my pussy woke me up, so that's my cat.
Yeah. So what do we want to talk about, Sasha, about the Epic of Gilgamesh?
Well, you just kind of cleaned that up by saying it's from the Emerald Tablet. So
yes.
I guess probably that it would be more apt to talk tablets. Although I don't really.
But we're doing the Emerald Tablets because the key thing with the Emerald Tablets is understanding the capitalization and the non-capitalization. That's what we learned
right.
2 years ago. So we get that here, and then we're doing it. So we're doing the Emerald Tablets plus the media thing. So this is the better book or the last book to do.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Bob knows more about, he's got more insight of all the tablets probably than anybody else on the planet. He won't even go into it.
That's old school.
That's old school. That's dark age material. That's done. We move. come on. That's the best you got. Let's go to the beach.
Yeah. So, Ginny, did we ever get your phonetic alphabet points done?
Is that who fell away?
I guess.
You going into the Syro-Phoenicians, Bob?
Yeah, I guess if you mean by that, the Phoenicians are part of the evolution of the phonetic alphabet.
Babylon, yes.
Okay, so we go on to Deborah. I don't know if Deborah exists. She hasn't spoken yet. Do you want to say something, Deborah?
Go, Sheila.
Yeah, you got to be closer to Sheila. You're very low.
Am I still low?
Yeah, could you get off speakerphone and put up to your mouth?
I have it right on my mouth.
Well, that's a weird echo like you're on a speakerphone.
Carpet's in my apartment.
Oh, it's your apartment. Okay.
Echoey.
Okay.
What is the significance of the Sphinx?
Okay, you gotta compare it now. This is where the notes would help you. If you compare the beast, the shape and the form in Revelation and in Ezekiel, you'll get the difference between the calf and the ox. And if you marry those shapes and take them through Moses' interpretation of that aspect, that's from whence the shape of the Sphinx was emerged.
Did you ask about the Sphinx, Sheila, just a second ago?
Yeah, that's quite a bad. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't hear your words. Anyway, that's great. So you wondered about that. You wondered about the calf and the ox and how does it, you say it's not in there, but you're saying the eagle, the man, the lion, and the calf ox are in the Sphinx image.
It was merged into it, you see. Because it had to be filtered through Moses' version of Pharaoh's vision for the always watching Sphinx. Now, Sheila, if you're really interested in your ownness, you'd notice which direction the Sphinx is pointed. And if you really got to looking, you'd notice that what the Sphinx is looking away from.
Looking away from the pyramid?
Giza, yes, it is. And it's faced in a specific direction.
I think Graham, whatever his name is done a lot of books on it the last few years. Graham somebody. I went to a lecture. Did he say he was looking at the North Star or Sirius, one of those stars?
Everybody, no? Like Osiris and Isis are above?
Okay, I'll start over again. I don't know. Is it pointed toward the North Star, Ion?
You'll have to call on the resting soul of Galileo, King of Night.
Right.
Here you go.
Okay, so we can't. Galileo will decide. So, what would be the other thing it's looking at?
All I always said was what geographic direction is the damn Sphinx pointing, Bob?
Oh, the Garden of Eden.
East.
The point to the Garden of Eden?
33rd degree.
Please form your answer in the form of a question.
Is it North Ion?
Look it up. You won't believe us. Then you'd say, well, if you believe Ion, you believe anything. By God, look it up for yourself, and then we'll discuss it. Brian,
well,
you hold it in a row. You hold it in a row. You get to laugh and you fall off the wagon there.
The pyramid of Giza on the 33rd parallel.
Okay, that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So it was Atlanta, Georgia, and Long Beach, California.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Did you notice Carol saying at Cashflow Day that Joe Dunn Sloan, where he, how you compare it, where he made the D cell, that's on the 33rd parallel?